Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Yeah. And here's what's happening Tuesday, March 12th, 2019, on the 76th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Brady Wright here, as usual, with all the class and sophistication of a chimp in a tuxedo.
And is that a penguin in a tuxedo?
No, I prefer chimp. They have opposable thumbs. With master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne not in evidence tonight because he is face down in a 52 Kaiser that they're building up at the shop. I have no idea what he's doing with it, but I know they're going to be there late. And of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, the guy with a grin as wide as an Alabama swamp. Yes. Back to the blacktop is our first. See that? Look, if you could see this, I'm going to hold Steve's face up to the
Well, when
now.
We get on YouTube, and you'll see it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We are coming. We're going to check out some happenings in the automotive world, and I'm just going to say Takata.
Yes. Honda recall. America Honda. Takata nightmare continues with a voluntary recall of 1.1 million Acura and Honda vehicles in the United States to replace for free Takata dedicated replaced driver front airbag inflators that may rupture. And if you could crash, you could get blown up, all this kind of stuff. And folks, if you own a Honda, call your dealership and see if it's listed under
this. Well, they're saying everyone from 2001 forward is likely to be involved.
Wow.
Some of these cars have already been recalled twice. And, you know, it's
a nightmare.
It's horrible. It's horrible for Honda. It's horrible for Takata. Those guys are, I feel bad for those poor schmucks. But, you know, it just doesn't stop. And, you know, when one of those things explodes, when the airbag deploys,
right.
They deploy at about 220 miles an hour.
Oh, it does.
And, you know, if it goes wrong, that's an ugly thing to happen in the front of your car.
Okay, so
aside from you get covered with all the grease and dust and everything else, it's barn find dust that's in there, you know.
Yeah. Well,
we're stretching here because Shane just walked in covered with barn find dust.
And or auto dust.
Would you like to tell the class why you're late?
I was dealing with a chopper.
A chopper. Oh, gosh.
We'll save that for later.
This is a great story.
Because I wanted to piggyback on what you were saying. My son, I was wishing him a happy birthday. He just turned 24 earlier this week. And I was on his Facebook page, and I was scrolling through his things. And he loves humorous things. And he's got a picture of this steering wheel with all these gems or, you know, like crystals glued to it. And it's called "I Want to Get Good Vibes from My Crystals." And then down below it says, "This will be a claymore if that airbag goes off."
No, man. What that is the automotive version of the Infinity Gauntlet. He's going to snap his fingers and all of the Takata airbags will disappear.
Okay, there you go.
Come on.
Oh, okay.
You got to give me that one.
I didn't think about that. But I thought claymore, you don't put anything on your steering wheel. Thank you very much.
Well, it's one of the reasons why those old suicide knobs, you know, kind of went away. Everybody said, it's because they catch your sleeve as you're turning the... No, it's because when you hit it, it caves your heart into the back of your spine.
I love mine, though.
I know. It doesn't mean you don't have one. It just means you're aware of where it is when you're driving.
Oh, yes.
I never seen any of those movies out of the 70s with somebody using one of that. That would have been great for like a...
Well, it's because that's when they did... They
disbanded them.
Not disbanded what they did. They banned them.
Yes.
Right around the 70s.
Disband. That's kind of a oxymoron. More in there. VW AG CEO Herbert Diess said during the company's annual meeting on Tuesday it expects to sell 22 million battery electric vehicles over the next decade. That's 10 years.
Really?
But big talk considering it only sold. Listen,
thanks for the math.
Big talk considering they only sold 50,000 this last year.
Yeah.
So
none of them are going to have Takata airbags. I think we're safe in saying that.
But they're all battery.
There are, yeah. That's good. Lithium ion batteries.
I don't know.
I don't see this
they
happening.
They catch on fire. That's even more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
This is not good news. We need some good news.
Well, let's see. Good news. Let's see. There is. Oh, last week we spoke about a couple of cars that hit the 1,000 horsepower mark.
Yes.
Well, according to Detroit Auto News, it's been about 14 years since the Bugatti Veyron.
Veyron.
You. 16.4 captured a spot in the Guinness Book of World Records by becoming the first model to deliver a four-figure power. Now, thanks to such automakers as Aston Martin, Hispano Suiza, Carmen, Koenigsegg. Jessica,
I love watching Stephen Marina.
European cars aren't.
Oh my gosh, I'm not good at that at all.
F O R D Ford. Ford.
Yes, too many letters, can't say it.
Oh, call.
Let me do the Hispano Suiza.
I was just thinking that. Why don't we I'll just post it up and you just flashcard and you just tell me what it is. And I go, okay, Brady, what it is. Okay, and then once you're done, then I'll tell you. Anyways, exciting news for big buck car buyers because there's now well over 14-plus manufacturers that are now creating cars that have 1,000 horsepower or more.
I think that's exciting.
I think that's wonderful.
I was around for the first muscle car, craze, and it was cool then.
That was
450 horsepower.
Yep.
Now
this is a supercar craze.
1500.
These are all supercar.
Yeah, the Red Eye's got 1500. Wow. Like, stop me.
Oh, is there two modes on that? Street mode and drag mode?
No, it's all stupid mode.
Yeah, there's street mode and
stupid.
Oh,
gosh.
There's three buttons. There's street, stupid, and oh, my God.
you press it, and you're driving around street.
Yeah.
And then you're I want to impress my girlfriend.
In a Bacata and you have to impress your girlfriend, there's something wrong.
I know.
Yeah, the car should do it.
Let's put it this way.
You're doing it wrong. If you need to go to the red key, you're doing it wrong.
But you were telling me that they're pushing this for, they got the Elephant 1,000 horsepower V8.
And that's almost a year old.
Is that going to drop in a Challenger or something?
Well, they could. I mean, that's what they're making it for.
Yeah, buy them off the shelf.
Somebody
will buy
with 1,000 horsepower.
Put it in an Isetta.
They go to put the foot on it. You're going to see somebody just careen that thing down and cream it. I don't think the average person can handle that much horsepower.
Average person can't afford them.
That's right. Thank you for saying that. That's exactly
okay.
The average guy is not going to drop the 18 grand. Oh, more than that.
18.
Yeah, it's got to be 30.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And that's on top of the how much you spent for the original car.
Well, no, they're going to put it in a 58 Edsel.
Yeah.
just because,
okay.
That's how that's going to work.
Yeah.
We've got an Isetta in the back. I think there's a.
I mean, yes, we know about drag cars, but these are beyond the average.
But see, this is the stuff that gets whispered in garages
by guys who have had one beer too many. Remember the 426 Hemi and how big that was. And now these things just make, they're like double the horsepower of those things or more.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing.
You know that old
for the
Chrysler
same size
that's out
of
in the
engine.
Back? Yeah. We should do something with that.
We should do something with
it. Yeah. How much does that thing weigh? Yeah. How much that thing weigh? 4,000 pounds. Ah,
that's before the rust.
Yeah. We could dip that and get it down to about 2,800. Sure.
Oh, gosh. Well, according to the latest number, automakers are hoping that China might bail them out of the sluggish sales in the U.S. Well, they're going to be disappointed because for the eighth quarter in a row, sales have been down. Actually, these last quarter was 14% drop in sales in China. This is an eight quarter long decline
sales.
So you know what? It's just you can't be doing it. And right on top of that,
stockholders get nervous when they see that.
Oh yeah. But the good news for BMW America, because once again, they were the top exporter of vehicles from the United States with 234,000 plus units in its sports utility and coupes from the Spartanburg, South Carolina plant during 2018. That's $8.4 billion in 2018. Good on those guys, man.
That's holding
good
up the rest
on
of the
you
line.
Guys, BMW. I mean, I
well,
have
they
to admit,
it out.
They're an impressive little vehicle.
Well, they figured it out.
They
figured
are
out
nice.
What people
you
want.
Haven't driven the M4.
A what?
that's because you haven't driven the M4.
Oh, is that their low line?
No, it's supposed to be one of their high line cars.
Well, that's the M3 on steroids, basically.
Yeah,
and the M3 was.
And it's not that good?
And amazing.
It's horrible.
Really?
Because
the M3 was the mark for a long time.
It doesn't
handle,
I mean.
Really?
Pushes.
You used to work on those, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
They missed on the M4.
Yeah, well, you got, not everybody gets a home run every time. Hey, we're glad you're with us. Coming up, we get to talk to a guy who's really stepping up to the plate, keeping hot rodding alive. All for the future here on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear.
We're back with a second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and it's time for the Windshield View. And this week we have a phone interview with us with a... I lost my place.
Oh, it's a guy who's taking the lead in keeping hot rodding alive.
Yeah, there you go.
For the future, Brady. Ken Earls, and also a member of the Time Travelers Car Club. Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Russ, Ken.
That's great being here with you guys.
Hey, so you are in you are in scenic Kingman, Arizona, yes?
Yes, just a couple minutes out of Kingman. I'm actually in Golden Valley.
Oh, nice.
Golden Valley, Arizona.
All right.
10 minutes from Kingman.
Well, I know that just as of last weekend, we finally caught up to you guys in terms of the daylight savings time thing.
I wish they would shoot this thing in it.
Now we're
on
the same times zone. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So we just got through a bunch of snow. What kind of weather you got in Kingman or Golden Valley?
You know, it's actually not too bad. Today it has rained on and off, but it's not real cold or nothing. Just a basic flannel shirt on just to kind of keep the shirt from really getting wet being outside.
Nice.
So that's not bad. We had our snow a couple of weeks ago.
Sounds like you're having a kind of our weather, actually.
Yeah, kind
of.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that in 15 years. My wife and I moved here from Southern California 15 years ago, and we have never seen that much snow
here. It's just that kind of winter, I guess.
It is. Well, we wanted to kind of...
I'll give you the story about how I got hooked up with
this.
Kenny. So I'm looking on the Time Travelers Car Club page. This is a while back, and I'm thinking, yeah, these guys would be kind of fun. You know, maybe we find somebody who'd like to talk. So I put out a message to the club, and Ken got back to me and said, hey, well, you know, happy to talk to you about that. How about we talk about this program I'm doing called Keeping Hot Rodding Alive? And I absolutely loved it. So, Kenny, I want to give you a shot. Just tell us a little bit about what KHRA, I love the call letters, sounds like a radio station. How did that program come up? Give me some background on this whole thing, because you guys are getting ready to go to SEMA, aren't you? You're hoping to?
Yes.
All right.
I had started this program, Keeping Hot Rodding Alive, youth program, high school age kids, 9th to 12th grade. I have started this, 2 years ago. Throughout the past years, I've always worked with kids, taught kids different things here and there. But
sure.
I got into the building, always a home-based business, got into the building and thought I would go ahead and open up something there for the kids to teach them a trade. It's a free program I teach. It's all out of my pocket. And
that's awesome.
Get them going into a trade where as they get out of high school, they have something they can go into or fall back into when they learn another trade.
So you basically do the basic of automotive mechanics, right? I mean, that's the guts of it.
Yes. Yes. Basics and the newer stuff. Number one thing is changing the tire. And basic maintenance stuff and your newer stuff, and then let's kick that to the curb and let's keep our hot rodding alive.
Nice.
Focusing on the classics, hot rods, fabrication, and stuff there.
Now I understand that. I mean, we're gonna talk more about the SEMA thing, but I understand that you know this whole class started with the idea of, like you say, just giving students a trade or a skill or something when they graduate from high school. But you've now got a pretty reasonable amount of students, and you're working into stuff beyond just the basics. You're doing tune-ups, you're doing brakes and body work, you're doing customizing and welding and stuff like that as well, right?
Yes, we are. Matter of fact, one of my students, excuse me, he's a sophomore this year in Kingman,
yeah,
and he's doing the chop on our project, our SEMA project. Oh, it's right called Project X. He's taking 3 inches out of the top. We're going step by step, so he's learning on chopping tops. You know, Ryan is doing a great job.
That's a dying art
with
right
what
there.
He's doing there on that, and then assistance with a couple of other students around with it. So, really good seeing him get into that.
That's awesome. Now, so what kind of vehicle is he chopping?
The car is a 1957 British Ford Anglia.
Oh, right on! Nice.
I just built a chassis.
We're running a Chevy Impala rear end in it with the tires. The tires will be on the outside of the body.
Of course they will.
Front fenders were cut even with a firewall.
Yeah.
So we have a 318 poly going into it with the motor to be exposed. We are doing a space age theme hot rod. It has 57 Ford taillight or 57 Ford tail fins and taillight section out of the like a wagon or sedan.
Very cool.
Ranchero. The taillights will not be in the holes where they normally are on the Ford. It will have the exhaust running up and through there. And
of course.
Gonna be
nice.
We will be showing them how to build flamethrowers. It'll be set with flamethrowers.
Where are you?
That's into space-age hot rod.
That's pretty cool. See, now, Shane,
lower rocker panel
Shane's eyes are lighting up over here.
You're talking my language here.
So, what was the last piece now? Yeah.
It'll have a wing type setup below where the tires will be on the outside of the body on the back.
Right. Okay.
It will come from the rocker section down below. A 1x3 square tube or rectangle tube will come out and it'll turn and angle back to nothing on the front. So it looks like wings. If you're looking at the space shuttle, that's the idea we're going with on the wing setup on the lower part of the car.
Oh, sort of like a ground effects thing, except it's a wing.
Okay.
Yes, the wing setup. It will have. We do want to try to set it up with a fog machine and lighting below for any night shows.
Right, of
course. And it will be dual control, right hand and left hand drive, is what we're shooting for.
Really?
And so how about the front end?
Just look at planes. Look at a plane.
Oh yeah.
They're dual control, and that's the idea we're going with on this Anglia project.
You're going to have the pilot in the right hand seat because you know. It's an Anglia. I mean, you might as well.
So you got a straight axle under the front end?
The front suspension, we're going with a 32 Model A, and the front suspension was donated by Donnie Sanders with a place out of Oregon.
Yes. I know Donnie.
Shoot, Johnny Law Hot Rods or something.
Yes. Johnny Law.
I got the notes down and all that stuff where everything's coming from, but 32 Ford. And what it was, the student said, hey, this is a British car. Why don't we go right-hand drive? And I said, no, we're going to stay left-hand drive. Well, anyway, somewhere wires got crossed with the one who's sponsoring the front suspension and the place up there. They sent us a right-hand drive gearbox. And instead of going through and ordering another one, I go, you know what? Okay, you guys got right-hand drive, but I wanted it left-hand. We're going to go dual control.
Nice. So,
that's kind of like
that's a
driver ed kind of car where you can you can put on the brake if you need to.
Yeah, but whoever's sitting in the left hand seat, if they're going to actually drive, they're going to have to use a right hand drive gearbox.
Oh, if I remember
and then shift
right.
backwards, isn't that right?
Yeah.
If I got in the Anglia, I'd sit on both sides of it.
We'll have it set up with a probably a chain or a gear drive set up to go over to the other side to tie in with the other column. So yeah, it'll be. it'll be pretty interesting.
That's awesome.
You know, I've never put one together, but it's not bad. I've got engineering and background behind me on designing stuff, so it will, you know, we've got it. We'll have it all under control there.
Well, that is so cool. Before we go on, I just want to ask one question. How old are these kids that are building this car now?
They're high school age, from 9th grade to 12th grade.
So this is awesome.
You know, we've got 14 to 17-year-old. So one of my students is just turned 18. He's a senior and just stepped on board with us. And he does have some mechanical background behind him, which is good. But we've got kids that have absolute zero, and they're really getting into it. And we've got Kata, one of our girls. We've got Kata and Rayanne, our girls, in the program. And Kata's kind of heading up and leading our group.
Nice.
Overseeing everything. I'm working in that area, but she's also into fabrication and welding. And her plan is, when she graduates from high school next year, is work for our shop. And we keep working with a trainer, and eventually this might be something that she takes over when I get where I can't go any further with it.
That is super.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, how do you work this through the school? Is this even something that the school's hooked into it? How did you go about finding these kids and getting them involved in this? Since it's at your place, it sounds like it's on the weekend or maybe weeknights. I mean, Mike's son does, my middle son, well, you know what, I'm going to hang on. We got our break coming up.
This is a good way to bridge over to the next segment.
Yeah, because I've got a really intriguing question to ask there about this. So,
okay.
All right, we'll be back.
Right after these messages with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Yes, welcome back to the third segment of the show, and we're back with Ken Earls. Just before the break, I was asking Ken how you got things hooked up with the school and this. So talk to us about that. How did that all work out?
Well, we're not really tied in with any of the schools here. Small town, you get to know people. I've always worked with kids. A couple of the kids I have met through the Journey Church in Kingman that I go to.
Excellent.
And then I took a couple of them in there. Word spreads. We get more kids that are getting involved with our program, wanting to learn. And like I say, we're not tied in with any of the schools up here. We're a, you know, we've got, we're nonprofit, nothing, you know, not sponsored, not supported by anybody. This is something I started out of pocket myself when 2 years ago with this actual program. And now we've got things happening. We have people stepping up, wanting to help out and sponsor. And
excellent.
And so it's really awesome because the kids are our future. Kids are our future. Statistics shows one out of one's going to die. So guess what? Each one of us are going to go here.
Yeah.
And we got to think about the kids and bring them into something and do a trade besides sitting on a computer on their phone, pushing buttons all day.
Well, it's super to have, yes, you know, that kind of interest.
Yes.
And I don't think it makes much difference between small town, large town. You know, kids like to learn stuff that's new, that's exciting for them. And how it's presented is easily half of that battle. You need to be commended for taking the reins and doing something like this. This is just an awesome thing to do, especially out of your own pocket. But let's talk about that for just a second. You wouldn't be adverse to having somebody toss in some sponsorship money, would you?
I would be all for that. That'd be great if we, you know, if we could get people out there that would want to help out and help with our needs in this program.
Yeah.
And especially with our build off, with the drive off that we've got to do. We got to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. Got to be in Lincoln, Nebraska at the end of October. And it's going to take money.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking that somebody, you know, maybe the Snap-on guy or the, you know, the Mac Tool guy may want to get a piece of this. Somebody, the Hobart guys, the welders, the Miller guys, maybe they got some money they could put into something like this, because this is definitely the future of our sport. If for people who are listening to this, no matter where you are, if this sounds like a deal, if you got a connection with, you know, any of the tool guys, any of the petroleum guys, any of the industry suppliers, this would be something that would be a really worthwhile deal to sponsor. And we're going to put Kenny's information and everything and the website and all that up on the page as soon as we post this. But man, what an amazing opportunity! And you're taking this thing to SEMA, right?
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah,
yes, we are. We hosted the last leg of the tour of 2018 for the Radical Rod Build Off Drive Off Road to SEMA. Out here in Golden Valley. And we had people, three from our country and four of them out of the country, which was really awesome to see. Well, anyways, I get a call from Jeremy, from one of the staff from the build-off a couple weeks after the SEMA show, and asked if we'd be interested in putting our youth into this build-off for 2019. We are the very first youth, he said, very first youth to be involved with this build-off, and the only youth for 2019. So we're going to be competing against something like 12, 13 different teams across the country and overseas, New Zealand and Australia. And we're really excited about this. I told Jeremy, I talked to the kids, I mentioned it to them. They went over the top excited and said, let's do it. So we're giving this a shot, and we've got, they've really got their hearts and minds in this and wanting to do it. So we've got to really make this happen, and that's where we could definitely use help from people out there.
Boy, we're going to do the best we can to help, you know, let people know about this. I think it's just awesome that you, not only are you the only youth team involved against all the adult teams, but you got invited. You didn't just go and say, we want to do this. They invited you. Yeah. That, you know, that's a win right there. You didn't have to do anything else except show up, and you're already winners. But,
well,
man, that's just awesome.
You know, and I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm going, My brain's going chink, 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 chink. Oh, I know all this stuff. Okay, the Radical guys, and we had Jeremy on the show way, you know, back last year, and we talked.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome. This is just, so you're building a phenomenal rat rod, and you're going to enter into this thing. And
a space-age rat rod.
Space-age rat rod. And so rat rod, you can just have a heyday and just go nuts. And then,
oh, yeah, with the stuff you can do, it's going to actually be a little cleaner than a rat rod, I believe.
You know, it sounds like
kids
it, yeah.
Are wanting to go with it.
Yeah, because they changed the name of the contest.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It'll definitely be interesting.
I just talked
to Brian, also Daigle, from the Radical Rod Build-Off Drive-Off just a few days ago. And we went over some things with the kids, and you know, he's just really excited to see, you know, our progress and what we're doing. So, the staff, I think, you know, it's just really awesome of the staff to step out and give us a spot in this. Like I said, first time ever youth involved. And I've just got to, you know, give a clap for that team, for the staff.
Absolutely.
Now, last year you were part of the – did you go to SEMA last year?
I rolled in there for a little bit. I didn't have a lot of time there. I had a friend of mine with me. I was picking up a nose for a 37 Dodge I have in Vegas. And we decided to pop in real quick and look around and back out of there. So it was really cool. It was my first time ever going in up there. So this year we're looking at spend some time up there.
I think it would be.
That is really the big league. I mean, that is the show.
To me, that would be the one or two show that I'd want to go to is SEMA.
Yeah.
And are you?
We're looking for also a SEMA sponsor, too, so we can get a spot up there. We possibly have one, but it's not confirmed 100% yet. And my doors are open if somebody does just step in and say, hey, we've got a spot for you, and it is on stone. Then we will take that up. So we are looking for a SEMA sponsor also for a parking spot.
Well,
it'd be awesome to get inside the building, but you know, I don't know if we'd get inside the building, but that would be so awesome to see these kids right inside.
I think they're going to set you up with a front and center raised mirrored pedestal for your car. I'm pretty sure you get all the spotlights right in the middle of the show. Don't you think that's, I mean, you should.
Should.
That would just be so awesome.
Wouldn't that be?
Could you see these kids' face, you know? I mean, they're just gonna light up on something like that, you know, at this age. I mean, how many of us at that age, you know, in our teens, just be put out there in something like this?
And think of where you could go with that kind of a thing in your background.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the door is wide open at that. That's just super. And you deserve an awful lot of credit for putting this thing together and funding it out of your pocket. Ken, for heaven's sake, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Well, it's just something I like doing. I don't look at it on myself. I like seeing these kids glow, see them lit up, see them have something, you know, because not all of us had, like I said, not all of us had this when we were kids.
Yeah.
So, and then to see this take place for these kids, it's these kids, you know, that where it's all at. My youth there. It's just, they're great.
Well,
great
Ken,
group of kids.
Ken, speaking of youth, why don't we back up a little bit and talk to us how you even got involved with playing with metal and working with cars and that kind of thing. Talk back up and tell us how you got involved with that.
Okay, I can do that. Just before high school, I had a neighbor named Bob Smith out in California. He's passed away now a few years back. Anyways, Bob was just, you know, really into the stuff, wrenching, and I started learning some stuff with him. Then I went through high school auto shop with Bob Gilbert, my teacher, auto shop teacher at a Banning High School. And 2 years of regular auto, 2 years of vocational auto, and really got into the stuff. 16 years old, I was engine swapping and tearing the streets up, you know. And if I got stumped in a question or something, Bob Smith was always there for me on that part there, plus my high school teacher, Bob Gilbert. And you know, throughout the years, I could always call Bob. I got stumped on something here or there through my years. I got into doing mobile auto repair. excuse me. And I can get stumped onto something that, example, in a diesel. When I was in mobile auto repair out of Laughlin, somebody had broke down. I was able to call Bob 10 o'clock at night. Didn't bother him any time to call. And helped me through the situation there on that. So it was great. He took me under his wing, teaching me stuff, and I just really got into it, just a gearhead and a half, and always had the love for cars, building stuff, modifying things, and not into the leaving it stock. So always get my hands in and doing something. So now going up through, that's what I'm with my kids with. You know, let's do something creative. And I took them on a field trip to Gene Winfield's.
There you go. That's a place.
And we're going to – Gene Winfield's going to – he said he would take some time and help them with some more stuff in the English wheel. So we're going to trailer this car out there. But so that's where my thing is. Where these kids are learning, that's where I started, not involved with anything like this, but just learning as I went. And now it's time. I'm 56 years old now. Hey, you know, I'm going to pass this on to these kids and get them going into this stuff and keep our dream alive.
You know, that's just super.
As we go, we got someone to pass it on to.
I got to say, when we were talking earlier, Ken sent me kind of a rundown of the program and how everything was, you know, going to work and everything. And he sent me a ton of photographs of the build and the kids and the, you know, the place they're working and stuff. I'm going to post all of those on the link to the show, and I'll put them up on the Facebook page so you can kind of see what's going on. Because looking at the expressions on these kids' faces, you know, in the midst of doing this build, this is the future of our hobby. It's the future of our sport. It's where this thing is going to go. Because as you pointed out, you know, we're all going to be too old to lift a wrench at some point.
Yep.
And that, you know, if this is going to continue, it's because of kids who are in high school right now doing a program exactly like this.
Well, and most high schools are not even having any program.
Well, yeah.
When I was a kid, they all, my high school, I did the same thing, kind of like what you did there, Ken, is I went through, took the auto body, the small engine repair, the metal shop, all that stuff in high school, and then I my senior year I went off to Votech school for a couple classes in the afternoon and did more, learned there, and then my dad and I, we worked on my car and worked on his, and that's what you did, but that was in the 70s, so things of, there's one car, we got four high schools all within 5 miles of each other here, and there's only one of them that offers an auto program. The rest of them, they don't even have shop, they don't have nothing hardly. So
you should bring that stuff
not
back
out there.
It is.
It's not out there. It's all phased out. We had, when I was in high school, auto shop, wood shop, metal shop. There was so many different shop things you can get involved with, and now they don't have anything. Now they do have, in Kingman, they do have a metal shop, and Ryan, the one that's doing the chop on the top, is taking a welding class. So it is
excellent.
That would be important
here. And so that's a positive note there on that part there.
Super.
I liked it, but they need the auto shop in schools. They need the different trade classes, you know.
Well, I mean, it's really, and aside from just teaching the skill, it teaches some independence and, you know, the ability to handle things yourself. I mean, you can't call somebody up. You got to figure it out on your own, and that's a learned skill.
Oh yeah,
it's vital. I'm a big fan of bringing back shop classes.
Take off the plastic, that's the same engine as you used to work on before the plastic went on top of it. I had a couple newer cars, and I went, I don't know if I could work on this. And then I went to the auto shop. They said, well, this is how much going to charge. I said, you know, let me think if I could do this myself. And I spent 20 minutes removing all the covering part, whatever.
Yeah.
And I went, it's the same engine as my older car. Okay. And then I went to town, changed the spark plugs, did all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
I saved myself a load of money. I went, that wasn't that difficult. It's just... Nah.
Except for the computers.
That's typically not what goes wrong.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So this is great. You're teaching them
computers on the new stuff, which is kind of a pain, but there's still stuff that people can do on the stuff. You get the analyzing equipment to scan. And you know, I've got some of that equipment, and that's something that I will down the line work with the kids, show them some of that stuff. You know, ones that really show an interest on wanting to wrench, and it can be a positive note there.
Super.
You know, one thing too, I haven't mentioned on the project car.
Yes.
The plans for it when it's done. Just so if there is anybody out there wanting to sponsor, they want to know what's going on with the car, what we're going to do with it before they step out to sponsor. What my students come up with, they asked me, what do we do? I donated the car, and I donated the 318 Poly. A few little knick-knack things.
Right.
We have other sponsors out there that's helping out. Icebox Radiator, Easy Wiring, Dolphin Gauges, Lizard Skin.
Super.
HEM, Heavy Equipment Machinery, wants to set us up with a corner in their building because some changes going on at the shop. Flashover Graphics with our T-shirts. So on down the line. We got different ones out here. Counts Customs, some parts that donated we can resell and put into our project.
Nice.
But their plans with the car. The students asked me, what do we do with the car when it's done? Do we give it back to you when the SEMA show's over? I said, no, I can't take that. I don't feel right. I'm not doing it. And that's all there is to it. Because we got sponsors, people putting money out there, parts out there.
Sure. So what are you going to do?
What the kids have come up with, what they want to do is we'll do the SEMA show. We'll do some local car shows. They want to pre-sell raffle tickets.
Oh, nice.
And you don't need to be present for them.
Yeah.
We haven't quite set our price yet on the tickets. They will be pretty reasonable. You know, an excellent win on for what you spend for a ticket.
So you're going to raffle the car off at the end?
Yeah, I could say probably $20-$30 a ticket. We're looking in that range.
All right. But Kenny, anyway, here's what we're going to do. I think this is awesome, and I got to break it in because we're getting out of time. Let me do this. We're going to put all this information up on the website. Thank you so much for talking to us about this. Kenny Earls with the Keeping Hot Rod Alive program. They are going to SEMA this year, folks, and it's just going to be awesome.
Stay right here for more horsepower, chrome, and rust right after these messages.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motorwork, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air-Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
Welcome to our fourth segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential, where we share all kinds of hot rodding stories and what's going on in the hot rod world. And I'm sure Brady has a cool story for us.
I have a cool story.
Super cool.
It is a tropical story.
Oh, good. We need
a warm story then.
It is a warm story. It is a summertime story. It is a
I like summer.
South we need that seas since it's been so Pacific cold around here.
Yeah, South Seas Pacific Island kind of story.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The story is by a guy by the name of Steve Puvogel, who is a member of the Steeds Car Club locally. But the story is called The Tiki Mobile. And we need a bunch of
I like that.
Tiki drums here at this point, but we don't have any. So in 1968, I was 13 years old, he says, when I met my first love. It was a car.
During
a family camping trip to Rainbow Falls State Park in Washington State, my life was changed forever. A vehicular vision of chrome and fiberglass appeared before my young, impressionable eyes on that fateful weekend. I had never seen anything like it. Near the campground, there was a gathering of various hot rods and old cars and something I'd never seen before. A fiberglass 1923 Ford Model T C-Cab panel truck. Whoa. I knew about old cars and hot rods, but this was something totally different, and I immediately fell in love with it. It was a custom vehicle that was driven on the road, and I told myself, someday I will own one of these. By 1977, I was married to my wife, version 1.0, and I had a new baby. At the local swap meet, there was a fiberglass 1923 Ford C-Cab pickup for sale for $125. It wasn't a paddle body, but it was a C-Cab, and that was close enough for me. I bought it. I got it home. $125, he's saying. It's $125. It's $125. Got it home, decided I would mount the cab on a VW Bug chassis and running gear. Shane's all of a sudden paying attention. I then found an old VW Bug for $100 and the project was underway. So being a new you know, newlywed and having a new baby, money was kind of tight. And alas, the sea cab had to be sold, and I was heartbroken. Wife 1.0 said to me as it was being hauled away, "Don't worry, someday you're going to own another one of those." Fast forward to 2006, I had upgraded to wife number two. Sort of a short version of the story here. Life was better. Money
probably
was not so tight,
way.
And I was entrenched in the old car hobby. We were coming back from a T-Bird Club cruise, and I stopped at an antique store when wife 2.0 said, "Oh, look, there's some old trucks over there." Of course, I had to check them out. Walked around the corner to see the exact same C-cab body I had sold 30 years earlier sitting right there in the driveway. It was in the same condition as when I sold it, including the crooked transmission tunnel cut. My first words were, "I'm going to buy it." Wife 2.0 was very confused. "Wait, what are you going to buy?" She said. I explained the story of the C-cab to her, and I told her everything's for sale. She was a little confused, but said, "Okay, you just got to love these upgrades." The owner of the C-cab, realizing that he had too many cars anyway, sold me the C-cab body for $250.
Good deal.
This is 2006 now. Okay, I would
100%.
I would have paid $1,000 if I had to. Now I needed to find another VW Bug and resume the project. I watched
$1,000.
I watched Craigslist for several months with no luck. He couldn't find a Volkswagen on Craigslist. I was always too late. There was a VW based dune buggy with a plywood body that had been listed for 8 months. I figured I didn't need the body anyway, and if it ran, well, I'd just tear the plywood off and scrap it. Now, this vehicle looked like a 1.5 scale King Midget, and it was ugly, too, on top of that. But I paid the guy $800, and I drove it away. I had no problem driving it home, and it was time to start ripping that body off of it. I had the front bumper off, and I was just about to start tearing the plywood off when wife 2.0 comes out of the garage and says, "Stop! Don't tear it apart. It's too cute."
Oh, God.
"What do you propose I do with it?" I asked. He said, "You'll figure something out," she says. I then told her that this would be another vehicle, and I still wanted to do the C-cab project. Wife 2.0 said that was okay, but she liked the little beast, and we could have both projects. Oh, this is a keeper here.
Yes.
In my mind, that translated to, I just had to figure out what to do with the Volkswagen sitting there covered in wood. So one evening, I spent about 3 hours in the garage, staring at every angle of the wood-clad dune buggy. There is a picture of it here, and it's truly ugly. I had to figure out what to do with it sitting there, and aside from having some really weird angles, then it hit me. Wait, surfboards. I need surfboards. I would put one on each side, and they would cover a lot of the ugly body. Apparently...
How many beers were involved
in
that?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. He's not putting a count in there, but I'm sure... It decided to take the form of a surfer's rig, and I began my quest for surfer-type accessories. I found a couple of old surfboards. I laid them on the fenders. I got ready for another stare-at-the-car session. The solution was to make a flatbed-type setup for
it
the back of the car.
Kind of reminds me of the jalopy in Muscle Beach.
That way in the back of the car, they would all be one width all the way back. I found a couple of bunk bed safety rails to make up the bed sides and function as surfboard mounts. It was still pretty ugly, but it was getting better. I found a couple of tiki masks on eBay and put lights in the eyes and the mouth to function as turn signals. The tikis, here's where this comes in, they were mounted on either side of the grill, and a fake shrunken head was installed as a hood ornament. It was starting to come together in my mind, and I liked what was happening. The body remained completely wood, including all of my modifications. I still needed to upgrade the rear lights, and my choice was 59 Cadillac taillights. Of course it was. Everybody uses those. I thought I wanted to countersink them into the plywood body, so I went looking for something that would work and found that a kitchen sink drain baskets were a perfect fit. However, instead of countersinking the lights, I used kitchen drain pipes, mounting them so that they came out of the back of the bed like insect antenna. Since the lights were taller than the boards, they could be pretty easily seen. Perfect. I've since filled the flatbed with vintage luggage, a guitar case, and other surfer accessories. Deciding that the VW needed to have a name, it became the Tiki Mobile. We've driven the Tiki Mobile around for a few years. I've had more fun in it than any other vehicle I have ever owned. But now, it's time for me to get back to my first love. Remember the C-Cab? And build it. Yes. Plans no longer call for Volkswagen power. It would also be tiki-themed, but it will be built on a Toyota motorhome chassis.
Oh, great.
In today's vernacular, it will be a rat rod tiki bar when finished. There will be several modifications to the motorhome section in order to match up to the C-cab body, but That story is yet to be written. Yep, I guess I truly am an old car nut.
Wow, I like it. It kind of reminds me of Shane's VW with stuff there.
As we were going through the wood body folks, I'm going, where is the sea cab in all of this? It turns out it wasn't.
It wasn't. But what a great segue into a fun...
Oh, gosh.
Yes. How to take a butt-ugly vehicle that your wife likes and turn it into something...
That is the technical term, by the way.
You enjoy.
That is actually the term. Well, you know, I mean, who among us has not started a project in one, you know, book and finished it in a completely other book because it just spoke to you on the way? And, like, this isn't the car I started out to build, but you know what?
This one's way cooler.
That's what it is, yeah.
I think Shane's got, I think the shop's got a few of those up there, do they not?
Well, Shane has eight of them.
I mean, yeah, I got all kinds of them.
That's right.
I try to keep the shop on track.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought,
this is the time when you tell us about the chopper because this is something that... Elton just pulled out of the back of his head.
Just all of a sudden, one day, he goes, I want to build a motorcycle.
He's done that once before.
Yeah, he's built other ones. So he starts pulling pieces of salve around the shop and stuff, and he's like, why don't you need a gas tank? And he goes up and finds a oxygen tank from a B-15 bomber.
Wow.
This is what he decides to make the gas tank out of.
Wow.
It's the ugliest thing you ever saw.
Oh, my God.
It is perfect.
It is absolutely
perfect.
It's got a Yamaha 650 in it.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. It's a BSA frame. Yep. It's got this cobby-looking oxygen tank on the top of it that he's making a saddle for. Yep. He's going to tab it front and back. I know we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And he's got a Sportster front end.
Yep.
And he hasn't got a battery box yet, but he's going to make something out of it.
He's got a spare tire cover off of a 1920 Ford.
And that'll be what?
The rear fender.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
And he's got this old tractor seat.
Well,
he's got a bullet
tail light that I gave him.
That's got a lot of spring.
Well, it's just a flat piece of
metal. It doesn't now, but...
Well, you got to bend it around to put the...
No, this one's just a bucket.
It's a bucket. It's a shovel, basically.
And I have gone all week trying to convince this guy he needs rubber bushings in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
But he's hard-mounted the motor. He's hard-mounted this frame.
The only springs on this entire bike are going to be the front end. And
yes.
I rode hardtails. Yes. I'm telling you,
it's gonna
my
be
kidneys
a rough...
still talk to me about that.
It's going to be a rough one.
It's like riding a bicycle with a motor. Cool.
Well, plus, this is how old school he is. He's got a 516 rear tire.
Yes.
That's old school.
With drum brakes.
Hey, we got the trivia question coming up. And I hit it next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We'll be back. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man.
You two are goofy.
Someday when we have video, you're going to see the idiot dance that Steve and I do every time this song comes out.
It makes me roll my eyes every time.
Help, baby. Yeah, well. So this is the fifth and final segment. Thank goodness, because we've lost it to this week for sure. This is Around the Wheel.
Downhill.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, by the way, I do want to say thanks to David Dickinson for letting us read the old Carnut book stories. I didn't in the past segment, but we do every week, and he's a great guy, and you can get them on Amazon like you always do. So here is the trivia question conundrum for this week. Last week.
Conundrum?
Conundrum.
Okay.
Yes. It's the exhaust system on a 58 Buick.
Oh, that's a conundrum.
So when last we
close
fiddled
to a Magnum.
With our, that's right. It's a Hemi.
Or a gun.
We talked with somebody who said, you have sent this trivia question in a weird direction. The question was, who was the most notorious fan of the early Fords? Well, that covers a lot of ground.
Yeah,
because during the
it
early
really
Fords,
does.
So they said, any number of these answers could be right. And I said, no, there's one answer that, so, you know, so we give credit where credit was due. The first guy who came up with the correct answer was Bart Bartlow. I love this name. Bart Bartlow. He's a Seattle fireman. And he said that, well, there was a letter that got written to Henry Ford by a famous gangster back in the day. And the letter said, I have drove Fords exclusively when I could get away with one. It's got every other car skinned, which, you know, it got them beat. And even if my business hadn't been strictly legal, it don't hurt anything to tell you what a fine car you got in the V8. That was written in 1934 by Clyde Barrow.
Wow.
Of Bonnie and Clyde.
Wow.
And I just thought, that's the coolest thing I ever saw.
That is.
So Bart gets the bucket of barn fine dust.
Did they have a Ford in the movie Bonnie and Clyde?
I think they did, yeah. You got to have it. I mean, it's an iconic car. Yeah. So, yeah. The one that's full of bullet holes.
Full of holes, yes.
Anyway, so Bart scores the barn fine dust for this week. And the question for next week is a good one. Which car had the first production V12, as well as the first production car with aluminum pistons. So it's a twofer.
Ooh.
One car, first production V12, and first production aluminum pistons. It was the same car. But that is going to take a little bit of work. Google will get a workout this week. And if you know, you can call us. Yeah, well, you know, I can't call us, but you can email us at contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can get us on Facebook. You can send us a messenger post, or you can run into us at one of the events we're going to be at. Come on up to Shane's shop. We're all going to be building that chopper together between now and next week, I think.
Well, you've got a lot of experience in the chopper end of things.
Yeah, Elton and I were kind of beating our heads together figuring this out. I took him a taillight because I said, I got a perfect taillight for this thing.
He's hit that all week. I saw it on Instagram. I have not seen it in person yet.
Oh, what's in a box? Okay. I actually had it in a box. I had to find it.
I'm going to have to find it.
Buried in the garage. It's almost new. Never touched by human hands. Well, except Elton.
Well, we have to drop it or something then.
Yeah. Oh, I said, yeah, you got to scuff it up. It's nice. It's the shiniest thing on the bike. You need to get some rust on there for sure.
Well, you know, I came across an interesting thing in Hemming's car find of the day, and they had I hit the thing. It was a 68 Restomod Dodge Super B. It's going for $47,000.
Ooh.
And it's a complete rebuild tribute car to the Super B.
Oh,
not
nice.
A numbers matcher. As a matter of fact, the original car was a Dodge Coronet 68 convertible with a 318. Now has a 440 in it. And apparently there was only 1,500 of the Coronet convertibles of that year that were made. But anyways, it's a 1968 Super B. And then I came across another 68 that had a 383, but they swapped and put a 440 in it. And they said, well, the 440 came out in 69, but we slipped it into the 38.
Who's going to mind?
We want $84,000 for this car.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow.
You want it, but are you going to get it?
Wow. Okay. None of these cars are original, but they are going as resto mods. And you know what? If people want to pay that much for a cool-looking car.
Well, that's what it is.
That's what it costs to build one.
It's what the truck is.
I was
going
to say, the cost to build one has got to be that much.
Yeah, easy. We're getting up in the $50,000 range there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's it. Until next week, thanks to Ken Earls and the program he's working on. We'll send links to that one on the page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright. Say, keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we will pump some nitrous into another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you then.